One of the heartaches of having some longevity in the ministry is seeing friends that you went to Bible college with and started out in the ministry with change and go the opposite direction. One of the joys of some longevity in the ministry is seeing friends that you started out with and they've stayed faithful down through the years. Brother B.G. Buchanan grew up in the Fort Worth area. Actually, he was born in Oklahoma and showed a lot of intelligence by getting to Texas pretty quick. And we got acquainted with him just shortly after he was saved. Little country church over on Dean Road in North Fort Worth. And it's been a joy to see him as he prepared his life, as he served the Lord in various churches, and now having served there in Baton Rouge for 30 years, it's already been 30. And we're so grateful. What a dear friend he and his wife have been. What an encouragement they are to your preacher, to this preacher. And we're honored to have Brother and Mrs. Buchanan in our service. And you listening on purpose as the man of God preaches tonight. Amen. Brother Buchanan, thank you, sir.
Thank you, buddy. Love you, man. Well, old Brother Smith, more than I can ever say, he helped me a lot when I was just getting started. Let me preach for him over in Fort Worth. And then I had the privilege of having him on my ordination council. And I look at that every now and then. And then greatly encouraged me while I was in Bible college. I went to school in Diamond Hill area, Fort Worth, and there was health problems. They got sick of me and kicked me out. And so I had to finish night school at Tech High School. Is it still over there? Technical? Way over somewhere. And had to finish high school over there. And then got saved and then met Brother Smith and I started Bible college a couple of years after I got saved, and it was all brand new again, and I was sitting there in my first class, just kind of with my mouth open listening, and the fellow said, "You taking notes?" And I said, "What for?" He said, "We're going to be tested on this stuff." Sure enough, the first test was 300 questions long. Yeah. And you miss one phrase, you lost 25 points. The physical and the material in the Old Testament typifies, picturizes, and symbolizes the spiritual and heavenly in the New Testament. I was going to get that. And then I talked to Brother Smith, and he said, "Now, Brother Buchanan, I want you to finish." He said, "If you don't finish, I'm going to kick you in a place where most of you, if I told you, you'd know where it is." We used to use it with the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. You remember that? Now, some of you parents don't know about that, do you? How many of you folks know what I'm talking about? Oh, you're still right with God, amen? And he said, "I'm just telling you, if you don't finish, I'm going to do that to you." And so the night he was sitting on the end of the pew when we got my diploma at Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Prairie, Texas, and I walked by with my hand, he was shaking his foot like that. That's real encouragement, isn't it, folks? But I love him and appreciate him. Thank God for him. I just told him a while ago, he's got a lot of grandkids in the ministry, and he's going to come down and preach for us. We are going to celebrate my 30th anniversary in the summertime, and he's going to come and preach with some guys. And I got to thinking again today, really, he's responsible for Keith Gomez, Cecil Ballard, on and on it goes. And I appreciate him and you folks, and appreciate his good wife. It's good to see David and Donna Wander. Now, when I met them, they were in New Orleans. David had long black hair, and they were both heavy on dope. And they don't look like it now, do they? No, I'm just kidding. I knew them since Bible Baptist Church over there on Dean Road, and I heard from them the other day, and I'm glad they're here tonight. Now, I tell you, brother, that was good preaching, wasn't it? Can I impress you how smart I am? Now, folks, I didn't like your response right there at all. Now, I'm like him, so let me tell you what I read. Listen to this. I want you to listen to this. The Pentagon is one of the largest complexes in the world. It has 17.5 miles of quarters in it. That's hallways for you Yankees. I was preaching up in Ohio the other day, and I used the word "sull up." Any folks know? You know what "sull up" means? They didn't know. The lady interpreting quit. She didn't know how to interpret that. And anyway, listen to this now. 3,705,793 square feet of office space in the Pentagon. 8,770 parking spaces, 691 water fountains, 284 restrooms, 23,000 employees make 200,000 phone calls a day and handle 1,200,000 pieces of mail a month. That was in Beetle Bailey in the funny papers. That's what I read. That's where I got that. Because General Hatfrack asked his secretary, he said, "Do you think the Pentagon's forgotten us?" So I read deep stuff too, brother, I'll tell you. You know what a balanced diet is? Now, this is going to help you. One hand, and some of you may not know what this is either. One hand, you got a cheeseburger. And the buns have been toasted just a little bit. And when you bite into the meat, a little grease eases out. And you got a couple of big slabs of onion. Now, that's in one hand. A couple of big slabs of onion in there. And a good Texas tomato in there. And a few pickles. And on one side of the bun, you got mustard. And the other one, mayonnaise. Louisiana, they call it man-ass, something like that. I don't know what it is. Anyway, and you got that in one hand, and you got the same thing in the other one. You got a balanced diet. Amen. Somebody said it wasn't the minutes in the diets that got them, it was the seconds. And they said that didn't bother them what they eat, but what they watched other people eat. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3, I want to say thank to Brother Smith and you folks for having me come. And And I appreciate being here. And I know this is Wednesday night. And boy, we have a good Wednesday night crowd. And we have folks like you have folks. They don't even go home. They come straight to church. And we have one family that drives, what it cost them, $50 a trip in gas to get to church now. And they come and they're faithful. And we always have a good time on Wednesday night, just a relaxed time. And for a few minutes, Brother Smith, I want to pastor your people. Would that be all right? Now, I just, for a few minutes, I want to pastor you folks. And if he makes more than I do, I want that for a few minutes. If he doesn't, I'll stick with what I get. Okay? Little girl walked in her daddy's office, and he was a pastor. She said, "Dad, how do you know what to say?" He said, "Well, I just write down what God says." She says, "Well, sometimes does he make a mistake? I see you crossing stuff out." Huh? Genesis chapter 3. I want you to stand, please, once again, in honor of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 3. If you look down right quickly in verse number 6, and I'll read down through verse number 9, then we'll have a word of prayer. And it is good to have my wife with me. I'm glad she's here. She's been my friend and my buddy and my wife and encourager for many, many years, and almost 45 years. And I appreciate her so much. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst, see, that's a southern word, isn't it? Amongst the tree. That's not a Yankee word. Amongst, they don't even know what fried okra is. Amongst the trees of the garden. Jerry Clower said he'd eaten so much boiled okra that it's hard to keep his socks up. You'll get that later. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" I want to speak on that for a little while tonight. And in our church, most time on Wednesday night, we do a little Bible study, but I'm not going to do that tonight. I want to be very practical with you. And if you'll listen closely, And let God speak to you, maybe, and I hope it will help you. I mean this. I don't want to waste your preacher's time. I don't want to waste your time. Of course, there's been money spent to get us here, and I want to be a blessing to you tonight. And we just didn't come to see each other tonight. We want to get something. And we got something earlier, didn't we? Man, I wrote down my Bible, a lot of good things that young fellow said, and it was good. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Where would we be without the Word of God? It's our bread, it's our water, it's our nourishment, it's our encouragement. And dear God, tonight, it's our roadmap, it's our family book, it's our child-rearing book, it's the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And Lord, thank you for it tonight. And help us to be mindful while we're here in this good church and all these good people have come tonight, that there's people in the world that have never seen one copy of the Word of God, not one copy. So we thank you for it. And Lord, thank you for Brother Smith and these good people. And Lord, thank you for the influence he's had in my life and literally influenced my whole family. And thank you for these good people here tonight. And Lord, I know some of them have been up before daylight this morning and they hurried to get here. Maybe mothers had to fix breakfast and hurry children to school and then run home tonight maybe and fix just something to eat right quick. And so, Lord, would you kind of give us a spirit of revival and refreshment tonight? And thank you so much, Lord, for the good message we heard, Brother Blackwell. And thank you for young men that still stand by the Word of God. Now, Lord, please use me tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, this is a dangerous thing, but let me be your pastor for a little while. And I say that, you know, and not in a real sense, but just in a sense that I pastored for a long time. Many times Adam and Eve had walked in the garden. But today, they weren't waiting for God. You can do this without doing one harm to the Word of God. See, folks, we just didn't read black words on white paper. There was really an Adam and Eve. And it wasn't Adam and Steve. And don't you know, listen to me now, think for a minute. However they woke up of a morning, think with me, and I think I'm right about this, and Adam said, "Boy, Eve, it won't be long till God's going to come. And we'll walk with Him. We'll talk with Him." And the Bible says it was in the cool of the day. I don't know exactly when that was, and of course, we probably like to think it's in the evening, but the garden was completely different what we know. And every morning they'd get up. I'm talking about day after day after day after day. And in anticipation, we can't hardly wait for Him to come. And we want to walk and talk with Him. And I don't know what they talked about, but boy, it had to be good stuff. It had to be deeper than Spurgeon. Amen. I mean, some good stuff. But not this day. Not this day. Now, God, of course, knew where they were. But He said, "Where art thou?" I want to ask you a question tonight. Where are you, not geographically, but spiritually? Geographically, you're in Texas, Trinity Baptist Church. But where are you spiritually tonight? Go back to Genesis chapter 2 and look in verse number 8. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow." Boy, look at this. "Every tree that is planted in this, it's pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And He names the rivers that came out and what they were. And then skip down in verse number 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden." Now watch this, to dress and to keep it. Now Adam had to do some kind of labor, folks. He just didn't sit around and eat grapes and drink water. To dress and keep a garden, you have to do something. And I know it wasn't like labor we had today, but he had the privilege of doing that. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat it of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And so Adam had this wonderful place. Now, if I was in Louisiana, I'd be telling everybody this is Texas, see, and making them, some of them do this and say, "Oh," and all that stuff. But he had a wonderful place that's really, we can't really comprehend how great it was. But there was a problem. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have a helpmeet. He was there alone. In verse 18 in the Bible, and the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now, I tell folks all the time in Louisiana and Baton Rouge, Central Baptist Church, and sometimes we have visitors there, and I say, if you didn't study history from this standpoint, you didn't study real history. Because real man did not run around with long hair and a club in his hand and beat a woman in the head and drag her by the hair and he couldn't talk. Adam was a brilliant man. He was absolutely brilliant. And this is where real history comes from, folks. Look at verse 20. "And Adam gave names to all the cattle, the fowls of the air," and on it goes. And then God caused a deep sleep to fall upon him. And verse 22 talks about the rib. And then verse 23, "And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." Not woe man, but woman. "Because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." One day Eve came home. She said, "Have you been talking to anybody?" He said, "Who else?" Now, so we have Adam. What a wonderful place to live, folks. Wonderful. And then we have a perfect woman. Come on, fellas, grin a little bit. I'll help you later. Huh? And we have Adam and Eve here, and I mean in a place that we cannot describe, and we know what the Bible says about it. And at the appointed time every day, God would come and walk with them in the cool of the day. And I believe with anticipation, and you may not believe this, but I can't help, but it's wonderful when you walk and talk with God. That's wonderful. He's the best friend you'll ever have. You can tell Him and He won't tell anybody else. The way Baptists gossip, they do it like this. Well, would you pray for Brother Smith? He has this problem. Now, I'm not gossiping. Well, would you just pray for him? They put gossip in the form of a prayer request. Amen? And you can talk to God and have a wonderful time with him, and he's got a wonderful forgetter, and he can solve every problem you got. And every day, I don't know what time they would get up. I don't know how they would start their day, but I know one thing in anticipation. They look for God to come, and they would walk with him every day. And then you know what happened. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more substantial than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, and he's still saying that, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And you know what happened? She ate, and she gave it to Adam, and he ate. And now God comes. They don't get up of a morning on that morning and look for God. They don't get up that morning and Adam looks at Eve and says, oh boy, he's coming. I can't wait till he comes. She doesn't look at him and say, wonder what he's going to tell us today. Wonder what kind of mysteries he's going to tell us and things that he's been doing. They didn't look that morning. They were hid. And God said, Adam, where art thou? Could I say some things to you that are very practical tonight? Right after you got saved, wasn't it wonderful? Come on, folks. Now, some of you, Brother Reed's right, don't look like you're saved tonight. And I know you don't tell people they're saved by their counting. But you remember when you got saved, you remember how wonderful it was? Listen, it wasn't it so good? Where art thou? Where's that wonder now? Where is it now? Come on, folks, where is it now? I'm going to tell you something. If I ever write a book, it's going to be called The Longer I Serve Him, the Sweeter He Grows. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. Thank God I'm not going to hell. As an old-fashioned preacher said, you can swing me over hell on a rotten string, and I ain't falling in. Hallelujah. God's taking good care of me. Huh? Ain't no way you can go to hell. You're going to heaven if you're saved. And you've been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Why isn't it sweet now? Where art thou? You remember when you first got saved, you were thankful for everything you had. And before you got saved, you was like me. I was sorry, no good for nothing. Grew up over here, north side, didn't have any church background, nothing like that. And man, after I got saved, everything completely became different. You know, the birds were different. I'm not kidding you. Everything was different. And boy, I'm telling you, listen to me. I began to thank God for what he gave me. I just couldn't believe it. And I didn't even think about that before I got saved. Isn't it wonderful to be able to see tonight, folks? There's people wandering around. And you need to do it every now and then. Just put something over your eyes and try to go to the bathroom. Try to brush your teeth. Try to go to the kitchen. You ought to thank God for your hands and your eyes and all that. I mean, isn't that wonderful? And you ought to thank God for your family. And after you got saved, you were like that. Boy, right after you got saved, wasn't this book precious? Come on, folks. I used to tell my wife, I'd say, have you seen this? Have you seen that? She'd say, would you mind just not preaching to me for a while? Huh? Hey, you remember, boy, after you got saved, you'd be reading the Bible and you'd just stop and say, woo! Glory to God, look at that. It was like a wet verse just jumped right out at you. And now you say, well, I got to read my Bible. The preacher preached on it, but I'm going to read. Now, I'm a pastor. I know what I'm talking about. Where art thou? One of the greatest men that ever lived just died, not Jerry Falwell, which he was a great guy, and I knew him personally, and so did your preacher, called Dr. Lee Robertson. They tell me, I never did ask him. They said if you'd come to counsel with him, he'd say, okay, before you go any further, I want to ask you if you've been reading your Bible. And if you'd say no, he'd say, go away, and then come back when you start reading your Bible. And then you'd come back and he'd say, have you been praying? And he'd say, no. And he'd say, go pray. Have you been giving, sowing, and all that stuff? And of course, by then, you got everything straightened out. Amen. But you remember, some of you probably even, and it wasn't wrong, you even slept with your Bible. It's wonderful, wasn't it? And you find a place to read it. I mean, nothing kept you from reading that Word of God. And by the way, folks, nothing now keeps me from reading the Word of God. Nothing. Right here, that little green mark, that's where I read this morning. And I read it just for me. I didn't read it looking for a sermon. I need it. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word of God. You need the word of God every day. And you say, I don't have time to read. You got a TV, you got a phone, you got time to God. You got time to read the word of God. You're not going to make it if you don't stay in this book. The devil's going to beat you up and whip you and leave you wounded if you don't read this book. Before you first got saved, you read it. I remember when I was in Bible college, and everybody remembers this. You know, if you got plenty of sleep, there's something wrong with you. Matter of fact, I was in Bible college, and I'd get up, put on one shoe and go to sleep before I'd get the other one on. See, I had six wives and two kids, and that wasn't fun taking care of all them. No, I was already married and had kids. And, you know, had one, that was enough. Anyway, and man, you know, I just hardly didn't get any sleep. And somebody in our class or something needed blood, and I went down to give them blood, and they threw me on the table, was going to give me blood. And to keep them going to sleep, I'd stand up and walk and read the Bible. You say, sitting in Bible college every day. Yeah, I know, but that wasn't just for me as a devotion. Where art thou? Where art thou? Hey, how come now you don't look for that sweet time with God in His Word? Where art thou, Baptist, tonight? You listen to me, buddy. There was a time, and it still ought to be. This is the Word of God. This is God giving you His Word. And if you don't have time to read it, you're not right with God tonight. Boy, you remember you had a certain place to pray. Come on, folks. You remember that? I started pastoring up here in Roanoke, Texas, and just a kid, 25 years old, and not a lot of experience, and most folks at that time call me son. I wish somebody would do that again. And there's my boy preacher. You know, now they say, can we help you get in the car? Preacher, can you see this? And so a lady came to me, her and her husband, one night, and she said, we need to see you. And I took the wife and went to see him. And she said, now I have papers here. She said, I have some severe problems, and they're mental problems, and I want to know what you got to say. I mean, she could read, she could talk and everything, and I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. I said, now in the morning, you get your husband off to work, and you get the kids off to school. And back then, there wasn't computers and all that kind of stuff. I said, take your phone off the hook. And I said, you find a place here in your living room somewhere, and you get the Word of God down, you just read it. And I said, when you get through reading 4 or 5 chapters, whatever, you start thanking God. You thank Him for your good husband. I said, you thank Him for your little kids. You thank Him for letting you live in America. And I said, just go on down. Don't ask Him for anything. I said, just do it. Just do it. Do it every day. Every day. You eat every day, don't you? Amen. Huh? Amen. Huh? You say, that's too simple. Would you forgive me for this? I double dog dare you to try it. Hey, listen to me. Jesus said, you're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. Amen. 1 week later, I said to her, how you doing? She said, I threw those old crazy papers away. I got to my doctor. She said, I'm doing great. She said, I can't hardly wait every morning to get my husband off, my kids off. And she said, boy, me and God, we just have a good time. You remember when it was like that with you? And you'd pray for your brother who's going to hell, and you'd say, oh, dear God, save my old big brother. He's not saved, and I witnessed to him. I witnessed one of my brothers half the night one night. And you'd pray for your mom and dad if they wasn't saved, and you'd pray for your uncle, and you'd pray for somebody, and you had a prayer list, and somebody you'd went out and witnessed to, and they wasn't saved, and you was praying for them. And, boy, prayer was a wonderful time, and you didn't let nothing, I mean nothing, stop that prayer time. Where art thou tonight, Baptist? You remember when you couldn't hardly wait for Sunday and Wednesday night? Boy, and Brother Smith get up here and you get right on the edge of the pew. Come on, preach. Come on. They say, all right, good night, wife. Hurry up. We got to get to church. If we don't go, they're going to wonder where we are. Amen. And you know, you don't have to get here, some of you, till 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and it's hard for you to do that. Boy, when you first got saved, you got here early. And you went around and shook everybody's hand, and you were proud to be here. Now you say, well, ain't no telling where they've been scratching the wings, shaking their hand, man. Huh? Come on, folks. That ain't bad. Dr. Hatch used to say, if you got to get up and go out, well, if you got to get up and go out and scratch, just go ahead. So I was preaching, one of my ladies got the coughing real, real bad. I mean, she just got the coughing real, real bad. And I said that a couple times. Next to her, I said, get up and go out. She said, I don't want people to think I'm going out to scratch. Huh? I'm not kidding. You long for Sundays. Come on. And now, some of you, and I know this is Wednesday night, but if you're not careful, you'll find an excuse. Oh, the kid's sick. We all got to go stay home, take care of him. Huh? And folks, listen to me. You know there's a place in the world not they don't have a Wednesday night service? Wednesday night, I know it's not easy and it's tough and Satan will do everything in the world. But buddy, after you leave here tonight, you're going to be glad you came. But you remember when you couldn't hardly wait? Listen, I got saved. We'd moved away from Diamond Hill because of health problems again. Everybody got sick of us. And we moved over to Arlington Heights area. And I was working at elementary school. And thank God I went to work there, gave up a better job. And I went to work with a preacher and he witnessed to me every day, every day, every day, every day. And I lied to him, told him I was saved. I wasn't. And I finally got saved. And I went to start going to Wednesday night because he was my lead man. He fixed it up where I could go to church on Wednesday. As a lost man, I drove from out by Cardinal Air Force Base over to Arlington Heights area. My wife had my clothes ready. And I didn't eat supper. As a lost man, went straight to Wednesday night. Got there about 7 o'clock all the way across Fort Worth. Lost. And then, boy, after I got saved, I couldn't hardly wait to do it. And Sundays, oh, listen, Sundays. Sundays is a great day. And you remember when you couldn't hardly wait? And man, you're ready for the preacher to say something. You'd say, that's good. Let's put that down. Where art thou? Same preacher. Matter of fact, wiser than he's ever been. The more people you deal with, the wiser you get. And if you got a Bible college, you either kill yourself or get smarter. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., you say if you got an enemy, get him to start a Bible college. Huh? And boy, listen to this. I said to my wife, after I dedicated my life, I said, sweetheart, I don't know what that thing Brother Daugherty's calling visitation, but we're gonna go. And you remember when you first went out soul winning? And you went out there and you met somebody that was lost, and your heart started burning, and you wanted them to get saved like you got saved. Boy, our youth director. For a bus kid, thank God for the buses. Said, preacher, this lady would like for you to go see a fellow named Jack in hospital. She called me up and I called her back and she said, now he's asking for a pastor. She don't even come to our church, but her daughter does. She said, I've been there one time. She said, you're the kind of guy I can talk to him. So I went up there Saturday and laying there with a big old white beard and tattoos all over him. And I look down at him, and of course, everything in the world starts happening. People start coming in and out, you know, and phone starts ringing. And I took one of these tracks, and I said, Jack, I'm Pastor Bob Buchanan. Good to meet you. And he said, good to meet you. And I said, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but can you read? He said, yeah. And I said, I want you to read this for me. He said, preacher, he said, I never did go to church much, and this is good and bad. And I said, me either. And right away, he picked up. And he said, I said, what's number one say? He says, all have sinned. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. I said, Jack, that's me too. He said, you too? I said, yeah. I'm just a saved sinner. And he read all of it. And I said, now, Jack, listen to me. God wants to save you. And I said, it's got to come from within here, Jack. And I said, you know, this I'd be stupid to wear this ring if I wasn't married. But I said, Jack, when I got married, something mystical happened. I gave myself to my wife. And she gave herself to me. We did that inwardly. It just wasn't with our heads. He said, I understand that. And I said, that's the way you get saved. Because the Bible said, with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. I said, you ready to do that? He said, yes, sir, I'm ready to do that. And I got him by the hand. But by this time, I'm weeping. I can't help it. Man, I'm weeping. I got him by the hand. He took that old dirty hand, got me by the hand, a tattoo on the back of it. And I prayed. And I said, God, thank you for Jack. And thank you that he's willing to listen. And I said, now, Jack, just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. He said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And he said, I need to be saved. And I said, just ask him to save you, Jack. And he said, Lord, would you please save me? And I said, Jack, if you meant that, would you grip my hand? I kindly wished I hadn't asked him to do that. And he just said, And I said, dear God. No, I said, dear Lord, thank you for saving old Jack. And I'm telling you, folks, God came in that room. And his son came in, just looked like he dropped out of a Star Trek movie somewhere and all that stuff. There's nothing greater than that. There's nothing. And you remember when you used to do that? Huh? And you say, wife, pray for so-and-so. They got to get saved. What happened? Where art thou? Hey, you remember one time when you couldn't hardly wait to give something to God? Boy, as Brother Smith said tonight, you know, God's provided us ways of giving. And you couldn't hardly wait to give something to God. And you'd get paid. And back when everybody used to cash their check, you remember years ago, and you'd take God's part and you'd put it up. You wouldn't touch it. Huh? And it wasn't out of a heart of arrogance or pride, but you couldn't wait to drop it in there for Sunday. Because you'd heard the preacher say, boy, this is going to do this, and this is going to do this, this is going to do this. What happened? Let me tell you something, folks. I may be tall and ugly, but I ain't stupid. And if God says give, and it'll be given back to you, any businessman will take that kind of deal. I'm going to get in on that. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. God can't lie. And God, excuse me, is not an Indian giver. And boy, listen to me, I still love to give. And I love to give. And I'm like Brother Smith, and I tell my people, now don't make deals with God. I don't think you're just give and let God do something. Hey, man, I mean, listen, boy, you just give and let God do something. You watch God do something. And in due time, he will do something. You remember that? You remember you used to do that? Uh-uh, kids. I got a fellow in my church, wonderful man. Married a lady with three kids, and he said, now look, I'm going to make them my kids. His long story, his dear wife walked out on him. He was going to mission field. She just come in one day and said, forget it, and walked out. And he you know, said, I'm not going to mission field with you. And he came home from Bible college heartbroken and met this lady whose husband was drunk, and he left her, and she had three kids, and he got her back in church and started dating her, and finally asked her to marry him. And he said, now look, I'm gonna adopt your kids. I'm going to give them my last name. And you think they were his kids. And he said, we're going to go to church. And it was two boys and a girl. And now this, sometime I don't exactly agree with this, but this man's a tremendous giver. He's really like an unpaid assistant pastor in my church. And you know what I'm talking about. And he loves the Lord and helps me a lot. And he had two normal boys. And they'd come in and they said, Dad, you know, we'd like to have a go-kart. And he says, well, okay, what missionary do you want us to quit supporting? Now, you ought to meet those boys today, buddy. That didn't hurt them psychologically one bit. Now, I don't exactly agree with that sometime. And he went back and apologized to them later. He bought them lawnmowers with no motor, no nothing. Just, And you give one of them today a toothpick and say, I'm going to take this building down. He don't say, it'll hurt my hands. He'd start on it. And the other one works for Paul Chapel. And his daughter's married to a missionary, and they're over in Nigeria tonight. And just got a work started a year ago, and already started Bible college. Now listen to me, let me tell you something. He taught them how to give. And he taught them that giving was wonderful. And he went back and apologized to them. They said, Dad, we're so glad you did that. They said an old go-kart would have smelled like gas, and we'd had to fix a thing and all that stuff. And they said, we didn't really need that, but we were just kids. But they said, Dad, he said, I didn't mean to harm you. They said, you know, he was teaching them a wonderful principle, folks. And you better teach your kids. Let me hurry. You remember blessed assurance? Amen. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And you couldn't hardly believe it. I mean, God would come in and touch your heart, and you'd get all caught up with it, and you couldn't sing. You couldn't carry a tune in the bucket, and I can't even carry the bucket, but you didn't care who was around. Amen. And now, well, Brother Reed, hurry. Get up, brother. Get down. Get up. What if you couldn't hear? What if you couldn't hear Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me? Let me tell you what's good about those old-fashioned songs that some teenagers will never hear today. My music director's grandfather wrote that song. And you know, there's a verse in there that said, I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, and how he made the lame to walk again, he caused the blind to see. Amen. Brother Bartlett's uncle, Bartlett, had a physical problem. And he said, Dear God, I don't want you to heal my physical problem, but I want you to heal my spirit. Amen. And somehow he came to me and brought the victory. Amen. Now, that's what's good about that. That's what's good about the one Jack Bridges wrote, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, filled me ever long." He came over a hill one day. He'd been out circuit riding as a preacher, and he looked down, and his house was smoldering. And he rode on down on his horse, and he got off his horse, and he walked, and the men walked up to him and said, "Preacher, we're sorry, but your wife and family died in that fire." They died in that fire. And he walked through those ashes. They said, "What are you going to do?" And he walked through those ashes and said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing. Keep me singing as I go." And music's not to move your foot, and it's not to move your hand. It's to move your heart. And there's going to be teenagers grow up in churches, never hear those kind of songs. And don't tell me what's good about drums. They're not the David type drums. Don't let nobody bump that in you. They're to make you want to rock what they want to do. And when you used to hear that kind of singing, "Amazing Grace" is still so good, and so is "Victory in Jesus." And boy, listen, "Blessed Assurance," "Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And you just lift up your, oh, listen, you couldn't hardly, what happened? I'm going to tell you something, Brother Smith. I walked in that church, in Bible Baptist Church on Dean Road, and there's about 20 people in there, and their singing got me under conviction. Amen. I mean, just their singing, and they didn't have what you got here, but they really meant it. I mean, you could look at those people, and I got under conviction just watching them sing. And they wasn't dancing up and down. They were singing because they loved God. Amen. "Where art thou?" You remember the first time you saw a little bus kid with no clothes? Maybe dirty. Our youth director goes out in the van and brings the teenage bus kids back on Sunday night. But Sunday night, one of them hung up her cell phone. She said, "Boy, it's going to be good to get home tonight." John said, "Why?" She said, "My mama's not drunk. My mama's not drunk." You remember you first saw those little old kids and you just wanted to hug every one of them. You remember you want, come on, you did. You want to take them all home with you and you wonder if they had enough to eat. What happened? Where art thou tonight, baby? Where art thou? Let me hurry. Where art thou? Where art thou? You remember when the missionary came through? Boy, you'd see his slides. And you'd see those people getting saved. And my wife used to say to me, "We ain't going. You know we ain't going." And I'd say, "I'd like to go over there before somebody wants to hear the gospel. And I'd not go over where somebody walks 5 miles and will sit out all day long to hear the preacher." She'd say, "You know, we're not going, but I surrendered. I wanted to go." Amen. Still do. Amen. What sin has caused you to hide? Amen. Let me show you something. I'll be through. At least Adam was honest. Look in Genesis 3. Now, they didn't get up that morning to look for God. And some of you don't look for him anymore either. And when the preacher says something you don't like, you try to turn him out. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, "What art thou?" Would you let me just be a little dramatic for a minute? Adam! 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 Eve! Adam! And all of a sudden there's some rustling. There's some rustling. In verse 10, look at this, number 1. And he said, "I heard thy voice." What have you heard tonight? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God said something to you during that young man's preaching. The Holy Spirit of God said there's something you're holding on to and you're not going to give it up for nothing. If you're saved tonight, you come to church. You come to church, there's going to be something in every service where God says something to you, or you're not saved. The same ghost that lives in me lives in you, and his name's holy. He said, "I heard your voice." Hey, folks, when's the last time you heard the voice of God? Me and my wife were sitting in a conference several years ago way up north, and a preacher was up preaching, and I mean, he's up preaching. He'd walk over, and I punched her, and I said, "He's preaching this to me." When's the last time you said that? You used to say that. He said, "I heard thy voice." Now watch this. "And I was afraid," number 2. Isn't that unusual? How many folks ever remember when you say, "Oh, so-and-so's got the fear of God in him"? You don't ever hear that no more. You don't hear that anymore. We ain't afraid of God anymore. America's not afraid of God. The average Christian's not afraid of God. Watch this. He admits it. "Because I was naked," number 3. He said, number 4, "I hid myself." And so God begins to kind of interrogate him a little bit. And he said in verse 11, "Who said unto thee that thou wast naked? And hast thou eaten of the tree which I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, now folks, watch this. Don't blame somebody else. "The woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Why don't we just say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Amen. Amen. "Who art thou?" Baptist. I had the privilege of speaking out west here a while back in a college, Bible college. And one of the assistants came up and he said, "Brother Buchanan, good to see you." He said, "And if I call the name," and I won't do it tonight, Brother Smith would know the fellow too, who went to Hiles Anderson College. And he said, "Where's old so-and-so?" He said, "I remember college, boy, we had a good time. We went soul winning together. We had a great time." I said, "Well, he went to prison for a while. And I don't know where he is tonight." Now, folks, why don't you do like I do, like I said there a while ago, and I said, "Now, I'm the only one in here, Lord. You help that young preacher preach to me. I need something." Let me ask you a question now. Where art thou spiritually? Who are you? Amen. "Well, brother, you can't. I'm old. I can't knock doors anymore." Are you too old to pray? Yes. You know what's amazing? Everybody can't sing. Everybody can't preach, but everybody can pray. We have a lady that sits in our church right over here. My wife went to the Lord. She's got scleroderma. She should have been dead years ago. Her hands are like this. She comes in almost with a heating blanket on. But she never says it's too cold in this building. She never says it's too hot in this building. She just says to me, "Preacher, you didn't preach long enough. Where art thou?" I have to ask myself that. I've been doing this a long time, folks, if it's not careful. I don't want it to become academic. But I'm not going to let it become academic if people call me pastor. Amen. People call me preacher. Yes. We love you, preacher. I'm going to let it become academic. Then the little girls come up to me and I say, "You promise me you'll never get married?" "Oh, preacher, I ain't old enough to get married, preacher. I ain't." I said, "But one day, don't you, you know." And then we just had kindergarten graduation. And I said, "Hey, how much school y'all got left?" "Long time." You know, I'm not going to get used to that. And I say, "What college are you going to?" "Oh, preacher, we're just coming from kindergarten." Wow. Where art thou, Buchanan? Where art thou, Baptist? Let's stand with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this good church and these good people, and they hear good preaching.